In this year of the bullock, the ox, or the bull, let us see what we can learn from the ox that is found in the Bible. Now what I'm going to say is, I'm going to say that the ox is a picture of a sinner. And I'm going to say also that the bullock or the bull is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, of our Savior. And thirdly, the cow is a bullock of the, is a picture of the saint, that is us, all of us. So we have an ox, a picture of the sinner. We have a bullock, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to prove it, our Savior. And we have the cow, a picture of the saints, that is all of us. We take firstly the ox. Now, if we look up a good dictionary, a dictionary will tell you the difference between a cow, a bull, a bullock, and an ox. First, what is an ox? An ox, if we look up the dictionary, it will tell you that an ox is a castrated animal in the bovine family. In other words, it's a, of the cattle family. It is castrated. What is the meaning of castrated for the younger ones? It just means that its testicles have been removed, so that it's no more productive. That is used for an ox. And therefore I say that an ox is a picture of the sinner, because an ox is a castrated creature, cut off. In what way is it a picture of a sinner? Cut off. Cut off from what? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 11 tells us that a sinner is cut off from the commonwealth of Israel, is cut off from God, is cut off from the promises of the covenant, is cut off from Christ. And therefore a sinner is pictured in the ox, because it is cut off. But more importantly, if you look at Leviticus chapter 22, you find another thing about an ox, which makes the sinner not suitable to be in relationship with the Lord God. Leviticus chapter 22, and we read in verse 24, Leviticus 22 and 24, "You shall not offer unto the Lord that which is bruised or crushed or broken or cut." The NIV translation reads like this: "You shall not offer unto the Lord an animal whose testicles are bruised or crushed or broken." In other words, a castrated animal can never be offered to God. And therefore an ox can never be offered to God, because it is castrated. This is very important, and that's why we say a sinner has no relationship with God. The sinner is cut off from God. So, an ox is a picture of the sinner, because it is a castrated animal, cut off, and no cut or bruised animal can, in its productive organs, can ever be offered to God. Secondly, if you look at 1 Chronicles chapter 12, we find another characteristic of an ox. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, now this is a Bible study, and therefore we are going to turn to the Bible references a lot. Chapter 12 and verse 40, we read that the ox is a beast of burden. And we read in verse 40 of 1 Chronicles chapter 12, "Moreover, they who were near them, even unto Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali, brought bread on asses and on camels and on mules and on oxen." In other words, these things were placed upon the oxen, and they were used as beasts of burden. So this is the second characteristic of oxen, or an ox. It is a picture of the sinner with a burden upon his shoulders. Now, we know that this is true, because when the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth, in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, we read the Lord Jesus Christ inviting all sinners to come to him. "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." They are laden with what? They are laden with the burden of sin. "Come unto me, and I will remove that burden of sin from you." Now that is different from 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, where the Lord says to the believer, cast your burdens upon him, for he careth for you. There would be first the initial burden of sin that is on every believer, unbeliever. When that burden of sin has been removed, it does not mean that we have no more burden. We still have burden, but not the burden of sin. But it's the burden of the wrongs that we do day by day, the problems that we face, all these problems that we face, we are exhorted. Cast them to the Lord, and He will carry these burdens for us, because He's carried for us. And so we find that it's a beast of burden. But let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 25 for another characteristic of this animal, the ox. Deuteronomy chapter 25. And we read in verse 4, that thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the grain. First, the ox is a castrated creature. Second, the ox is a beast of burden. Third, the ox is engaged in worthless work. The ox is fastened to the mill, and it goes round and round and round from morning till evening, treading upon the corn to crush the corn. As far as it is concerned, it is involved in worthless work. It just goes round in circles and in circles from day to day, from morning till evening. And it reminds us of the sinner too, that the sinner, by his works, cannot be saved. He can work a lot, but those works are as filthy rags before God, and they cannot merit any righteousness. And therefore the sinner goes round and round and round and round, and cannot go forward in his achievement of salvation. And so the sinner is like the ox, going round and round. And if we look at chapter 14 of Deuteronomy, it goes round and round and round. What for? At the end of it all, you find that the ox will end its life on the table. So that chapter 14 of Deuteronomy and verse 4, we read, these are the beasts which you shall eat, the ox, the sheep, and so on. In the past, I have been talking about the rat last year, the pig the previous year. All these were in the unclean list of animals. They could not be eaten. But the ox is in the list of animals that can be eaten. And so we find that poor ox, going round and round and round, and at the end of it all, ending itself on the table. It has worthless living. Worthless living, it bears fruit, it is fruitless, and that is typical of the sinner, whose life is just unfruitful, whose works are like filthy rags before God, and who before the Lord is unrighteous. So the ox is a picture of the sinner, and this year definitely we would not like to have the year of the ox. But let's go on to the year of the bullock. The bullock. Now, the bullock or the bull is defined in the dictionary as this. First, let's take the bull. The bull is a reference to an uncastrated animal, not necessarily of the cattle, but also of other animals. For example, we have a bull elephant. We have a bulldog. So we have all sorts of animals, a bull seal. So these are uncastrated animals. Then we have a bullock. A bullock can be castrated or uncastrated, adult animal. But a bullock is essentially that in the cattle family, the bovine family. Normally, a bullock would be referred to as a young bullock. And that's what the Bible uses too, a young bullock. For example, in Leviticus chapter 4, We read that there is a young bullock to be used in the sin offering. Chapter 4 and verse 3. A young bullock. Alright, let's come back to the bullock now. What are the characteristics of the bullock as used in the scriptures? Firstly, we note that a bullock is specifically used to be for the sin of for the burnt offering. Leviticus chapter 1. Secondly, we find out that the bullock is to be used for the sin offering. Leviticus chapter 4. And we find that the bullock is to be used for the peace offering. Leviticus chapter 3. And we are going to find that all these offerings are pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why the bullock is used. And the qualities of the bullock in all these three offerings all point to the Lord Jesus Christ. But first of all, let us look at chapter 1 of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 1 gives you the things that a person must do if he brings in the burnt offering, the burnt sacrifice. Now the burnt sacrifice of all the animal sacrifices, like the sin offering, the guilt offering, or the peace offering, is the best offering that can ever be offered by any person to God. Now, the burnt offering is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me prove to you that it is so. Hebrews chapter 10. Keeping your finger at Leviticus, because we are going to come back to it for its details. Now, in Hebrews chapter 10, we read that. And verse 3. In those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. In other words, in the sin offering, the sin sacrifice, it has to be repeated year after year, year after year, because it can never put away sins permanently. But it is a picture pointing to the sin offering that is to come later on. Verse 4. It is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. It is not possible that the blood of bulls or bullocks or goats can take away sin, because it has to be repeated. It is just the blood of animals, but it is a picture. Verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Therefore, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, all these offerings that point to his coming, they will no more avail. He will put them aside, because the Lord has prepared for our Savior a body. And with a body he comes and he fulfills the qualities, the requirements that are wanted in the animals that have been used to point to him. Verse 6. Therefore, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. God has no pleasure in the burnt sacrifice or in the sin offering, because they are temporary. They only point to the time when Christ will come. And therefore, the time when the Lord comes, in verse 7, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldst not, neither has pleasure in them which are offered by the law. And so he takes away the first and he replaces it with the second. And so we come back to Leviticus chapter 1. This, therefore, as we study the burnt of sacrifice, it is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is important to note that in the burnt offering, an animal that is required is the bullock. It is the best. Of course, a lamb can be given. Of course, a goat can be offered. And even two pigeons can be offered. But the point is, the best of all this will be the bullock. And it is said in chapter 1, and verse 3, if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. Verse 5, and he shall kill the bullock. So that which is from the herd must be a bullock. Alright, so a bullock is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. In what way? Now let's see the requirements that are put down there as conditions for that bullock to be chosen. Number 1, the bullock must be without blemish. It must be perfectly spotless, as we find in verse 3. What is meant by that, without blemish? If we won't need to turn to it, but if you want, it is found in Leviticus chapter 22, that any animal that has a sore in the body, that is blind, that is lame, that has a running sore, whatever it is, on that sanctify, if there is any blemish, then that animal is not suitable. It cannot be used for the offering of the burnt sacrifice. Why? Because it is to be a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ in all His perfection. Now this is an external purity. In other words, on the outside must be clean completely, must be spotless. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ, it was said of Him. You remember in John chapter 18, John chapter 19, three times when the Lord Jesus Christ stood before Pilate, Pilate had to say, I find no fault in this man. I find no fault in this man. I find no fault in this man. Three times. Why? Because on the outside, Pilate could not find anything wrong with him. But please remember the second part. The second part is found in verse 6. Chapter 1 verse 6. The offerer shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into pieces, and the sons of Aaron the priest shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire, and the priest Aaron's son shall lay the parts, the head, the fat in order upon the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. Verse 9, its inwards and its legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn. Okay, what is happening now? On the outside, the animal could be clean, very clean, and perfect, spotless. But inside also must be examined. And therefore, it must be cut, it must be skinned first. After it has been skinned, it will have to be cut into pieces. And these pieces are to be laid in order properly upon the altar so that a person from outside can look into all these parts clearly and see that there is no stain, nothing at all. And of course, all these things will point to the Lord Jesus Christ in His internal purity. And who has the right to examine the Lord in His internal purity? No one. No man could ever do it. Only God, because God looks into the inward parts. And that's why we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20-21, in Him is no sin. In Him is no sin. And that's why we read also in 1 John chapter 3, verse 5, He did no sin. He knew no sin in Peter. And so we find that from God's viewpoint, the Lord Jesus Christ internally had no sin, knew no sin, and He did no sin. So inside, outside, and inside, He is pure, like the bullock on the altar. So clean in every way, perfect inside and outside. Third thing, what do we learn? We learn that in verse 9, after all these have been examined, the bullock must be burned on the altar. It says there the word all. I'd like you to note this. It's a very important keyword. All. This is the only offering compared with the peace offering, compared with the sin offering, that is burnt wholly, every single thing upon the altar. Nothing is to be shared with the offerer or with the priest. Everything must be completely burnt on the altar. In other words, it's for God. Whole thing belongs to God. Everything. Now, that shows again the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ as a whole person is completely pure. And He belongs to God. No one can appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ to the fullest. Only God can. And that's why when God seeing Him on the cross dying for us, He was prepared to raise Him up from the dead. He would not see His body to see, He would not allow His body to see corruption or to see decay in the grave. He will raise Him up from the dead. The Lord God was perfectly satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why that bullock, only that bullock, was allowed to be burnt upon the altar. But I'd like you to note please also that this word burn is a special word. The word burn is the word that is used for the burning of incense. For the burning of incense. And as the bullock is burnt upon the altar, the fragrance of the burning goes up as incense unto God. And that's why He said it has become a sweet savor offering. The Lord Jesus Christ as the blood offering in the burnt sacrifice is the sweet savor offering. And that is proved for us in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, where we read in verse 2, "And walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." As that bullock of the burnt sacrifice is burnt up, the smoke ascends up as an incense unto God. It is a sacrifice of a sweet smelling savor unto God, burnt by fire. Please note that. That is the quality of a sweet savor offering. It must be burnt. And as the Lord Jesus Christ was burnt, as it were, on the cross, the fragrance of that work extended up to God for appreciation. No one upon this earth can ever appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ. It is sacrificed to that extent. Only God could. And so we find that the Lord Jesus Christ was the bullock in the burnt offering. But the Lord Jesus Christ was also the bullock in the sin offering. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 4. And you will find that again a bullock is wanted. We read in chapter 4 and verse 3. "If the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, let him bring for his sin which he hath sinned a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering." Alright? What is important about this sin offering? Firstly, again, the bullock. The bullock is the means by which the sin offering is given. The next important thing about this sin offering is the blood. Please note it may be mentioned again and again from chapter 4 verse 4. He shall bring the bullock at the end part of verse 4 and kill the bullock before the Lord. Verse 5, "The priest that is anointed shall take of the bullock's blood and bring it to the tabernacle." Verse 6, "The blood will be sprinkled 7 times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary." Verse 7, "And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar," and so on. And we read of the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar, making atonement for us. The blood is important because the blood is the means by which sins are atoned for. Next, the priest that offered that bullock or that offering for sin, we read in chapter 4 and verse 4, "The priest shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head." Why? To identify himself with the bullock. But more so, look at chapter 7, when the priest put his hands upon the animal's head, what was he to do? In chapter 7, we read I missed out that one. I'll come back to it later on. I'll find it. Alright? What I would like to find is that when the priest lays his hand upon the bullock or the animal to be sacrificed for the sin offering, he will confess the sins. It's chapter 16, on the day of atonement. That's right. On the day of atonement, we find that the priest would have to do that. In verse 21, chapter 16 and verse 21, "Aaron shall lay his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over all the iniquities of the children of Israel." And so the priest will lay his hands upon the animal's head, identify himself that this animal would be taking his place, confessing the sins, and after that the animal, as in the day of atonement, will be let go into the wilderness. Or in the case of the sin offering, the other one will be killed upon the altar. And so we find that the Lord Jesus Christ, as the sin offering, bore our sins on the tree, and then our sins have been forgiven because of the blood that was shed. Now, a very interesting verse is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse 21. He, as God, had made him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. Now, in your English Bible, it is not very clear what this verse means. What does it mean? God had made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. God had made him who knew no sin to be sin. That would be the sin offering. In other words, it should be read as in the original, God had made him to be sin for us. Sorry, God had made him who knew no sin to be a sin offering for us. He was a sin offering for us. And he could be the sin offering for us because he was without blemish and without spot. Okay, that's the blood. Now comes another interesting thing. The fact. Please note the focus given to the fact in verse 8 of chapter 4. He shall take off from him all the fat of the bullock for the sin offering. And verse 10, the priest shall burn them upon the altar of the burnt offering. I told you just now that in the case of the burnt offering, the whole bullock would be allowed to be burnt upon the burnt offering. In the case of the sin offering, the fat of that bullock was carefully cut off from the various parts. The last 2-3 days, I had to go with my wife to the market to buy all these Chinese New Year goodies and so on. And as she was buying all the things, I was watching the butcher cutting up the lamb. And the lamb was in pieces. And how cleverly and carefully he would remove the fat, piece by piece. And he would throw it to one side. All that fat must be removed. What for? Ladies won't like it. Alright, that's why it's removed. Ladies won't like it. But God likes it. And so the fat is removed and is put upon the altar and burned upon the altar. And the fat is the only part of the sin offering that is allowed to be burned upon the altar. For God. Why? Because all fat belongs to God. That's not my saying. Chapter 3, verse 16. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire for a sweet savour. All the fat is the Lord's. All the fat is the Lord's. I'm sure ladies are happy to hear about that. But that's not important. What is important is you must know that the word fat means, has been translated in other parts of the scripture, the best, the finest. In other words, all your best and all your finest must be sacrificed to God. Are you prepared for that? You are happy that the fat is sacrificed to God. But when I tell you that the fat is your best, your finest, that should be sacrificed to God, are you prepared to accept the challenge? That is the challenge when he says the fat belongs to God. And so the fat is not allowed. And what happens to the rest of the sacrifice of the burnt offering? Let's look at verse 12. Verse 11. And the skin of the bullock and all its flesh, with its head, with its legs, and inwards, and its dung, even the whole bullock shall he carry forth outside the camp unto a clean place where the ashes are poured out and burn it on the wood with fire. No part of the sin offering was allowed to be burned upon the altar. No, not a single part except the fat. Everything, the skin and all the various parts inside, the organs and the other things, or the innards, the inwards, including the dung, all must be taken out. Not outside the tabernacle where you have the altar, not outside the tabernacle alone, but outside the camp. What does that mean? It means this. You see, there was first the tabernacle, and the people of Israel would encamp around the tabernacle. God would not allow the sin offering to be burned in the tabernacle, in the outer court, where the brazen altar would be, nor in the camp, where the people would be, but outside the camp, outside and beyond where the people were. Sin is not allowed in God's tabernacle, in the church, perhaps, and in God's community of scam. Sin is very serious. And therefore this sin offering must be burnt outside the camp. And are we surprised therefore to read in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 10 to 13, that we must go outside the camp to bear the reproach of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we also read in the same passage that the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified outside the gate. Outside the gate of the tabernacle. Outside the gate. Outside the camp. That's why I say the bullock in the sin offering is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to go outside the camp to bear his reproach. More still. It says there, the bullock and everything else must be taken outside the camp to be burnt. And on top of that, the word burnt is very interesting again. You remember just now when I referred to the sin of the burnt sacrifice, the word burnt was the word burnt used for burning incense, so that a sweet savor would go up. The word burnt in Leviticus chapter 4 in verse 12 is a different Hebrew word. It is a word which means to the burning of rubbish. The burning of rubbish. And sin offering is burnt as if it were rubbish. And that odor would come forth. That is what God treats sin. Sin in our lives and in the church is not allowed. Sin to God is serious, is rubbish, and must be burnt. And so we have the sin offering. Next, so we have covered the Lord Jesus Christ as the bullock in the burnt sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ as the bullock in the sin offering. Oh, one thing more. Very important. Very, very important. This is what we call the law of the sin offering. The law of the sin offering. Hebrew, Leviticus chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 25. Speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, this is the law of the sin offering. In the place where the burnt offering is killed, shall sin offering be killed before the Lord. The sin offering cannot be killed anywhere. The sin offering must be burnt outside the camp. But when it's killed, it must be killed in the place where the burnt offering was killed. Please note that. Because the sin offering has no value at all without being associated and connected with the burnt offering. The Lord Jesus Christ and his offering and his sacrifice for sin could only be of value so long as he is the perfectly Savior without sin, who did no sin, and who was a burnt sacrifice unto God. And because he was willing to be obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ became a burnt offering. And as a burnt offering, he was spotless, qualified to be the sin offering. No one else could ever become a sin offering. Because he could never be the burnt offering. The burnt offering must be perfect in all ways. And only the Lord Jesus Christ works. And so the law of the sin offering. The sin offering must be killed in the place where the burnt offering is killed. Otherwise, it has no value, it has no meaning. Very quickly now, the peace offering. Chapter 3. In chapter 3, we find that the bullock is also used as a sin offering. The peace offering. And of course, it reminds us of the Lord Jesus Christ again as a peace offering in Ephesians chapter 2, where we read, he is our peace, who has broken down the middle wall of partition between them who are far off and between them who are near. Alright, so the Lord Jesus Christ is the peace offering. Now in chapter 4, chapter 3, what are the requirements for the sin offering, or the peace offering? First, again, we find that the bullock is wanted. But it is not specifically mentioned in chapter 3. It's said that in verse 1, it must be of the herd, male or female. And again, it shall be without blemish. Of course, the herd will be from the cattle. And therefore, it will be a bullock. Again, a bullock that is uncastrated, because God cannot receive any castrated animal. Alright. In other words, the bullock would be the means of fellowship. In the NIV, the peace offering is translated as the fellowship offering. It is that offering that is given to bring about fellowship. Fellowship. Fellowship between Gentiles and Jews, those who are far off and those who are near, God has, the Lord has broken down the middle wall of partition, fellowship between Jew and Gentile with God through the ministry of reconciliation in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, through the Lord Jesus Christ, who reconciled both men and women unto God, Gentile and Jew unto God. And so, through this ministry of reconciliation, all are reconciled unto God, the peace offering. And the bullock is therefore the means of the peace fellowship, to bring together the offering, so that to bring together the differing parties to be reconciled unto God. Secondly, I'd like you to note that in connection with the peace offering, in chapter 3, much also is stressed on the blood. In verse 2, we find in the second part, Aaron's sons, the priest, shall sprinkle the blood, alright, the blood upon the altar round about. The blood is the maintenance of fellowship. The maintenance. What do I mean? In 1 John chapter 1, we have no time to refer to it, we read that first, we have fellowship with the apostles. Then we have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. Then it says, we have fellowship one with another. 1 John 1:7. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That is the very essence of fellowship. It's maintenance. That if you want to maintain this fellowship with God, the Father, with the Son, Jesus Christ, and with one another, we need the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was sprinkled upon the base of the brazen altar, round about. Next thing we note in verse 3, the fat. Again, the fat must be taken out, and the fat must be burned upon the altar. Again, chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, the fat is taken out from the various parts, and then in verse 16 we are told that the fat belongs to the Lord. That is very important. That is the characteristic of the peace offering. That as we all come together, we must give the best to God. This is the marrow of the fellowship. We have talked about the means of the fellowship, which is the bullock, the maintenance of fellowship, which is the blood, and this is the marrow of the fellowship. Why marrow? Because this word fat is also translated the finest, the best, the marrow. The marrow is the best part in the bone, the spinal column, so to speak. And it is that part which is the best. I like the marrow. When I am able to get a hold of a piece of bone, I would like to suck the marrow out because it's very sweet, very nice. And that's the best part of the animal. And that belongs to God. That is the marrow, the fat. Then we also learn that, alright, chapter 7. Now, chapter 7. Apart from the fat, the other parts of the bullock offering can be shared. We read verse 30, chapter 7 and verse 30. His own hands, the priest's own hands, shall bring the offerings of the Lord made by fire, the fat with the breast, it shall he bring, that the breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord, and the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. Look now, with regard to the burnt sacrifice, no part of the offering was shared with the priest. With regard to the sin offering, everything was taken outside the camp, none to be shared with the priest. But with regard to the priest, the peace offering, the breast would be given to Aaron and his sons. And then the right shoulder in verse 32 is given to the priest. This is the only offering where God shares the bullock with his people. And this is what I call the meal of the offering. The meal offering. This is one time when the Lord shared what was given to him with those who belong to him. And how does this apply to us? Of course, it must be this, the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is the time when the Lord God shared His Son, Jesus Christ, with all of us. When we partake of the bread, when we partake of the cup, those are the symbols of the body of Christ, the blood of Christ. It's a very solemn matter. This is one time when the Lord shared Jesus Christ with all of us. And yet sometimes we pay so little attention to this gracious act of the God to share His Christ with us. And we regard the Lord's Supper as not important, as the last important meeting, so to speak. Some other meeting will be more important, some other responsibility will be more important, some other event will be more important, but not the Lord's Supper. And we can afford to stay up late and to be late for the Lord's Supper, not knowing that the Lord God is waiting for us to share His Christ with us. Can we take such a light attitude towards the Lord's Supper? We definitely cannot. We definitely cannot. This is one gracious act of God who would share His Christ to us. And so we find the bullock in the peace offering. The bullock in the burnt sacrifice is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The bullock in the sin offering is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The bullock in the peace fellowship is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no time to talk about the cows. Alright? If you are interested to know more about the cows, please go into my website. You have got a long passage, a long study on the cows. It will take another 1 hour to do it. Perhaps if I have another occasion, I may speak on that topic. But it is important that we know today, as we celebrate Chinese New Year, let us be prepared to give our lives a living sacrifice to God. By the way, I finish with this. Is there a burnt offering that we can give to God? Yes. The burnt offering that all of us are obliged to give to God is from Romans 12, 1 and 2. And Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this: I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. What for? That you may prove what is the good, acceptable will of God. That is the essence of the burnt sacrifice. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ became a burnt offering for us all. In what way? When He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Abraham was ready to give the Lord a burnt offering when the Lord asked him, take now thy son, thy only son, the son whom thou lovest, Isaac, and give him as a burnt sacrifice on Mount Moriah. He was prepared to give his life, his son, a burnt offering. Paul said in Philippians 1:20, it's my earnest expectation that Christ may be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. By life, I must magnify the Lord Jesus Christ as a burnt offering. But if it needs be that I must die, I'm prepared. For he says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And for him, the Lord said, you die. So that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, he said, I'm ready to be offered to give my life to the Lord. Ready. Are we today? We are not called to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. But if needs be, we must be prepared to die, even if that is so. But how do we know that our lives can be a burnt sacrifice to Him? When our lives are being transformed, that be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our minds must be transformed, must be renewed. Our lives must be transformed. And when we see this, then we know, and others will know, and God will know, that we have become a living burnt sacrifice to Him. May the Lord bless all of you as we celebrate Chinese New Year, that as we follow this new year of the bullock, all of you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Be cows. Unfortunately, I have no time to talk about cows, but at the same time, follow the bullock in the Lord Jesus Christ and present yourself a burnt sacrifice unto Him. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee, Lord, for what we are celebrating this Chinese New Year at this season. We do pray, Lord, that we may be reminded of the Lord Jesus Christ as the burnt offering for us, the bullock that was given on our behalf. He who was made sin for us, He who knew no sin, and in Him was no sin. Lord, we thank You for Him. We thank You, Lord, that He was the one who became the burnt offering for us all. Help us, Lord, to live lives worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may offer ourselves to as living sacrifices to Him.
Hear us, Lord, we do pray as we commit ourselves to Thee for the rest of this day. Be with us for the new year to come. Bless all of us, we do pray, especially during this very difficult year when the global recession is setting in, that Lord, those of us who are involved in one way or another, we do pray that we may learn how to cast our burdens upon Thee, for Thou carest for us. We hear it. We ask Thee to hear us, Lord, as we commit ourselves to Thee thus, in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.